Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to sing a song again here, just one verse from Breathe on Me, Breath of God. We're going to be singing here verse 2. Now, I'm going to read it, and we'll sing it together in a prayer to God. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. So I'm curious, who's here this evening that wasn't here yesterday? Raise your hand really high. Okay, all right. So we're continuing a lesson that we started yesterday on meditating day and night. Let me turn this thing off. Thank you. So yesterday we were talking about four disciplines. Can someone remind me what those four disciplines were that we had discussed? What's the first one?
Morning prayer.
Morning prayer, okay. What's the second one?
Personal devotions.
Personal devotions. What about the third one?
Constant prayer.
Constant prayer. That's right. Constant prayer and meditation. And I really appreciate a comment that someone made to me. I can't remember if it was individually or in the group setting, that when you have a burden to pray for people, it comes a lot easier, right? When you already have a passion for souls, when you already have God's passions for souls, and you're already on the same page with God on, hey, this person needs to be saved, and this person needs, you know, it's so much easier to pray than praying these dry prayers for people that you don't even care about, right? Going down a list of just names and praying for names just to get it done can be really laborious. But when you have a heart for people, it's so easy to pray throughout the day. And you remember this person needs prayer, and you remember that person needs prayer. It's not that hard to pray a lot throughout the day. Okay, what about the fourth one? Evening prayer. That's right, just before you go to bed. And we talked about those four disciplines at great length. And today, we're going to continue to talk about some more disciplines. I need the ushers to hand out some papers here. And who's going to hand these out? There's actually no references on here this time. But a place for you to write notes for yourself, to remember what we're talking about. We are going to look at a couple passages today, but we'll get to that later in the message. And so there's a lot of disciplines that go along with meditating day and night. So if you just say, "Well, I'm just going to meditate day and night," but I don't want to embrace all these other disciplines; they're too hard for me. Well, chances are you're not going to be meditating day and night. it's kind of a package that you have to embrace a number of disciplines for this thing to really happen on a daily basis. Now, some people maybe have these disciplines. Maybe your parents taught you these disciplines from when you were a child. God bless them, right? And so it's like, well, no, I'm used to waking up in the morning. That's no problem. Well, but some of us didn't have parents that maybe taught us those disciplines, and you're already 25 or 30 or 45 or 50, and it's high time to start on these disciplines, right? It's like, well, I don't have time for my devotions because I always sleep in, and I always stay up late with my friends. Well, that's a sign of a lack of discipline in your life that needs to change, because you do need to spend time with the Lord in personal devotions if you want to meditate day and night. So we're going to talk about eight disciplines, and these eight disciplines could be, some of them could be full messages, but we're just going to briefly touch on them, and then we'll move on to how to read the Bible, some tips on how to read the Bible, and then we're going to have devotions together. We're going to have personal devotions together here, if we have time, and just learn some methods of meditation that I highly recommend. Okay, everyone's got their paper. All right, so discipline number one is waking up on time. It all starts with the morning, right? Waking up. So if you don't have an alarm clock and you tend to just sleep in, and it's like, you know what? I just sleep in and I wake up just in time to make myself some toast and a cup of coffee or whatever you drink and rush out the door to work, that's a sign of a lack of discipline in your life. You need to wake up earlier than that. And so you might need to change your alarm clock. You might need to get an alarm clock that doesn't have a snooze button. There's a lot of things that you can do to wake up earlier than when you have to get out the door in a rush. So waking up on time is one discipline. And you know, if you wake up regularly at a certain time, eventually, I hardly ever use an alarm clock. It's just, I usually wake up earlier than I need to. Wish I could sleep till, you know, a little later. But your body gets used to those things. And there's so many excuses that with each of these disciplines that people are going to like, yeah, but I'm not a morning person. Like, just throw that excuse away. The reason you're not a morning person is because you're undisciplined. If you would discipline yourself to wake up early and get out of bed and get into the Word, you could become a morning person. You know that? A lot of times we just think, well, that's how I am. I can't help myself. That's not true. You can help yourself. It just has to be important enough for you. You know, if it's that vehicle that you were looking for and you found this exceptionally good deal and you knew that you had to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning to be there when they opened their door so you could buy that truck and nobody else got it before you got there, like what happened to me one time, nobody would have to tell you how to work an alarm clock or where to find one or how to be dressed on time or how to be a morning person. Nobody would have to explain it to you. You would be a morning person that day. Well, it really depends on how important morning prayer is to you, personal devotions. Personal devotions often works best in the morning, at some point in the morning. If you always push it off to the evening, well, things happen and then it doesn't happen. So, but do find the time that works best for you. It might work best for you in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. Then that's the best time for you. Okay, so starting the morning right, getting out of bed, morning prayer, getting up in time to not be rushing around too much. I realize there are some times that it is going to be that way. You have to make it to the airport and you hardly slept that night and you need to wake up at 4 and leave at 4:15. I understand, but I mean on a regular basis is what I'm talking about here. Be disciplined in how you wake up in the morning. What about going to bed? Well, you're not going to be able to wake up in the morning and be worth a whole lot if you went to bed at, you know, 12 o'clock. So a discipline of going to bed at a decent time is important. So what do you need to do? So in the homework, you're going to see that some of the questions are, what are you going to do about this? Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I need a change. But you need to go one step further. You need to think, what am I going to do to change this in my life? Got to do one more step. What am I going to do to make it real easy for myself to go to bed on time? You need to set an alarm to remind yourself to go to bed. It's 9 o'clock. It's time to go to bed. You just forget. Well, whatever it takes for you to remember, you know what? It's bedtime. I need to go to bed. What's going to make it easiest for you to remember to do this and to be a disciplined person? Another discipline, number three, is staying up late. And you're like, well, but I'm not an evening person. I just get so drowsy. You know what? Jesus spent all night in prayer. You need to do that too sometimes. So it's a discipline. Yes, go to bed regularly, but there are some times where you need to be a disciplined person. You know what? You need to learn how to do this too. How to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning and spend time with the Lord, or 2 o'clock in the morning. That's a discipline. If it's important enough, you know, I really need to seek the Lord. I'm in an important phase in my life. That's a discipline. You know what? I'm gonna make this happen. And we do it all the time for other things that are important to us, right? Oh, yeah. If you're traveling, you need to be, you know, you'll be in the airport till 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're not going to miss your flight. You know, you're going to stay awake. So you can do that for prayer, too. It's a discipline of staying up late all night in prayer, or part of a night in prayer. It's a discipline that you can embrace, that you may want to embrace if you're serious about walking with God. Discipline regarding social... I'm not writing these down, am I? Okay, so bedtime, waking up, bedtime, and night prayer. And number four, discipline regarding social events. You know, it really grieves my heart when I hear people that don't have time to spend time in the Word because of all these social events they're going to, and this and that, and then they're going on a camping trip, and then there's a family reunion, and they're going to all these social events, and they're not finding time for the Word of God. Well, you know what? If that's your excuse for not having time in the Word, because, well, there's this event, and there's that event, and there's another event, and there's the birthday party, and there's the, I don't want to miss the barbecue over there, and they invited me over here, you know what? You need to be a little disciplined there. Are all these social events really making you grow spiritually as much as time with God? Probably you need to cut back on some of those things and say, you know what? I have to exercise self-control. I can't just go to all these events. I love going to events. I know. But this is something that needs to be even more important than social events. So there's some real social bugs that need to be disciplined with that. This is a real big one here. Okay, social events. The next one, and like I said, this one here, I could preach a sermon on this one. This is your phone. Okay? Your phone. So I'm just mentioning it here. I don't have time to talk about it a whole lot. But you need to be, especially if you have a smartphone. If you have a smartphone, you better master that thing. You better be a very disciplined person to be having a smartphone in your pocket. You really do. Because that thing will rob you of so much time and opportunities to meditate on the Lord. I mean, it's going to really rob it. It's like you're always on that smartphone. There's so many apps and there's so many dings and bings. And you know what? Instead of meditating on the Lord, you're doing this all the time. Yeah. Ah, please throw that thing away if you can't be disciplined with it. Do. So that phone can be a curse in your life. Maybe there's some apps that need to go, right? You don't need something in your pocket. You know, it's like, I really sometimes wonder if the devil invented the smartphone. I'm sorry for saying that. I'm sorry. But I really wonder sometimes. It's like, what can we do to get Christians to not meditate on the Lord and to always distract them? Aha, we'll put something in their pocket that's always binging and binging, and they'll be distracted. Wow. Well, anyway, sorry if I said that too strongly. Let me see, what's the next one? Aha, number six. This is another really important one, and that is reading. Now, I know I have some friends that have dyslexia. Maybe I have dyslexia. And reading is basically they can't read. Okay, I have friends like that. A number of friends. So I'm not talking to people that cannot read. Okay, I'm talking to people who are able to read. Okay, but they don't like to read. They're not the type that like to read. Well, guess what? If you want to read this book, this is a hard book to read. I don't know if you've found it that way or not. This is a lot harder to read than some other really fascinating, interesting biographies or stories. It takes a lot of work to read the Bible. It does. Some chapters are, I mean, you get into Isaiah, Aaron, he's like, what is he talking about? Well, if you aren't much of a reader to start with, you're at a real disadvantage. So I encourage you to also be disciplined in reading. Read at least one page. Now, get good books, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the Bible now. I'm just talking about books in general. Get some good books that are interesting to you and exercise your brain in reading. Because if you want to be a person that meditates, reads the scriptures and meditates on it, you have to be a good reader, okay? Now, if you can't read, then be a good listener, right? There, you know, that's how they did. When they went to the synagogue and they didn't have the Bible at their home and all that, they listened when the scriptures were read. They listened and they memorized those. They heard them so often enough that they memorized them. That part of their brain was functioning really well and they were listening. And so you got to do it one way or the other, okay? If you want to be illiterate, go ahead and be illiterate, but then you got to be really listening to the Word of God. One way or the other. Got to be disciplined with that. So, learn how to read. Get some interesting books that will keep your attention and read at least a page a day. Memorizing. Whoa, 6, 7. Memorizing. So, I have a new booklet on how to memorize. My latest and I think best methods on how to memorize. I used to think that I couldn't memorize. I thought there was something wrong with my brain, okay? You need to memorize, even if you're illiterate. It's one of the best ways to meditate on the Word of God, is to memorize God's Word. So I meant to bring that booklet with me. Here it is. I ordered it too late in the game, and it was all messed up. The printing wasn't done right. And so this will be available in a couple of weeks. John will hand that out, how to memorize. So read it. That's all I can say about memorizing. You need to memorize. All right. Get the rest of it from my booklet. Okay. Last one. There's one more discipline that we cannot not mention. So I want to make a guess which one I have in mind. Yes?
Fasting.
Exactly. Fasting. So you're like, well, I don't like to fast. Last time I fasted, it didn't do me a whole lot of good, and I felt pretty awful. It's a sign that you're not a disciplined person in fasting or haven't experienced fasting the way God wants you to experience it. You know, Jesus said, in those days, speaking of these days, they will fast. Fasting is very important for becoming a disciplined person. It really is, okay? So in my booklet, I don't have time to go into this, How to Be an Overcomer, I have a couple pages on fasting. There's different ways to fast. Not everybody can fast, okay? Please keep that in mind. I explained that in that section. Not everybody can fast, but most of us can and should. And it's an excellent way to become a disciplined person. If you're experiencing a lack of discipline in your thought life or other areas, you know what? This is a really good playground for learning how to be a disciplined person. It really is. I mean, it's safe. It's a safe place. You can't go wrong. You can't kill anybody when you're fasting. I mean, fasting won't hurt anybody. You know, you can learn to be a disciplined person in an environment that is safe. Read what I wrote about it. All right, so here's 8 disciplines that all of them are going to help you in being the type of person that can meditate day and night on the Lord. And if you don't have any of these going on in your life, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to meditate day and night on the Lord and be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of living of water. All right. We're kind of cruising here. I want to make sure we get to spend some time in devotions here together. I've got 8 tips and ideas on how to read the Bible. And those are mentioned in my booklet, Keys. So I'm just going to briefly mention mention them. These are I believe, important methods of reading the Bible. Number one. So these are still disciplines, but now specifically about reading the Bible. Number one is give God the best time of your day. He deserves it. You know, it's like if really the morning is just awful for you, and you can't even think straight because you're not, you know, you said you were not a morning person. Well, until you become a morning person, okay? Do find the time of day that is good for you, right? And if the morning is the best time, don't use the morning time to go jogging and doing stuff that have nothing to do with the Lord. I mean, you can pray as you jog, don't get me wrong. But give the best time of your day to the Lord. The time when there's the least noise, the least distractions. That's my second point, is minimize distractions. Did I spell that right? Minimize distractions. That phone, right? Find a place where this, you know, remember Jesus, he went out to the wilderness. He did that to minimize distractions. What is distracting you from reading the Bible? Don't sit in the same room with your phone. If the phone is always distracting you, right? Give God the best time of your day, and then minimize the distractions as much as possible. I realize we can't always minimize all of them, of course. I lived in Africa, and boy, distractions. But I still worked at minimizing them and doing my best with that. Number three, this is, again, a whole sermon needs to be preached on this. Read the Bible with a needy heart. You know, if you're like the people in Laodicea that have need of nothing, and are rich, and what does it say? They just didn't really have a lot of need for God. And then you open the Bible, it's like, wow, I'm going to become holy now. I'm going to read the Bible. You probably won't get very much out of it, because you don't need the Lord. And the fact of the matter is you need the Lord. And Jesus did not tell the church in Laodicea, yeah, you just got it all put together, so I guess you're good. No, he told them, you are blind. You think you're rich, but you're not. You're impoverished. So the more we think that we've got it together, the less we have it together. And so that can be a motivation. Like, you know what? The fact that I feel like I've got it all together should drive me to my knees, because that's a sign that I'm blind. What did it say? Naked and impoverished. So come with a needy heart. When you come before God with a needy heart, you need God. That's when you meet Him. That's when the Bible becomes alive. That's where you find answers to the needs in your life. Okay, so that's number three, a needy heart. Number four, read through the whole Bible. The whole Bible. Don't just find one corner in the Bible and stay there all the time. Read through the whole book. Now, I realize that if you're a very busy mama, that might not be the right time in your life to try to read through some books like Leviticus. But if you have the time to read through the whole Bible, that's a really good approach. So I'm going to write here the whole Bible. Now, if you're interested, I'm kind of crazy on this. I put together, as if we needed another Bible reading plan, I put together my reading plan, because I find this thing fascinating. So if you want to use the Bible Journey reading plan, which is semi-chronological, I put together what I think is the best way to read the Bible. So check it out and see how that works for you. There's so many different kinds of Bible reading plans, and some of them are honestly better than others. I feel like it's really helpful to read the Bible in the order in which events happen, to tie things together, and also to not just spend a whole lot of time in the Old Testament without spending time in the New Testament, so that's all kind of incorporated into that reading plan. But here's something that my next point is connected to this, and that is reading in a second place. What do I mean by that? Let's say you're reading through the book of Ezekiel. There are some really good chapters in the book of Ezekiel, and you're going to get a lot out of it. And then there's going to be a few chapters there where you're like, not a whole lot there are applicable to my life right now. And so it's important to have another place that you're reading alongside of your regular reading. It complements. It could be the passage that you're memorizing. That could be your second passage. And because I feel like it's so important, I put together a list of inspirational Bible passages, 365 of them. What I consider, again, just my opinion here, the best 365 passages in the Bible. So this is in my book, When I Awake, which also got messed up and will be here in a couple weeks. My children love to read one passage each evening as they go to bed, because these are like very inspirational passages in the Bible. So whether you use my list of inspirational passages or whether you just read through some Psalms and other passages that you've marked in the Bible, and I mean, in the New Testament, book of Ephesians, you can almost just close your eyes and put your finger down. It's going to be inspirational, right? So make sure you don't get so bogged down in the book of Ezekiel somewhere that you're not, you've got to be fed, okay? That's my point. You've got, yes, read through the whole Bible, but also be fed. Be fed. So read in a second place that may be more inspirational, more applicable to your life. All right, number six is marking your Bible. I've got a page in the back of this book here. I really recommend marking your Bible. If you're not used to that, I explain there how to do it and what's good about marking your Bible. It's a real good way to engage with the Scripture, with the text. Mark up your Bible. And number seven, again, this is probably the most, and this is what this booklet, Keys, is mostly about, is asking questions. So if you don't know what kind of questions to ask, I've got a lot of questions in here to kind of get you going here, but it's be curious. Be curious. Ask lots of questions, and you go into the Bible. I mean, this is the book that God wrote, like, wrote for us, right? So why did he write that? Why is that in the Bible? You know, that's a good question to ask. Why? Asking questions as you come to the text. All right, and number eight is spend time meditating. What do I mean by that? Meditating. You find a passage. Okay, why don't we just do it together? Let's do it right now. We're going to have some personal devotions here. Why don't you open your Bible to hang on. We're not there yet. Yeah, open your Bible to Joshua chapter 19. See what we can glean from Joshua chapter 19. But I said asking questions, right? Be curious, ask questions. I've got six questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six questions that I think you should ask every time you read the Bible. Every time you read the Bible, ask these six questions, okay? These six questions, you finish reading your Bible, whether you read 2 chapters, 10 chapters, one verse might be a little hard to do. Ask these six questions. What are the questions? Number one is, what do we learn about God? What do we learn about God? And I'm going to explain this a little more here in a bit. What do we learn about God's people? God's people. And number three is, what is your favorite verse? Favorite verse. And number four, any new observations? Always read the Bible like you've never read it before. Okay, even a passage I've read 100 times, I'm going to read it like as if I've never read it before. And try to see something that stands out to me or something that I'm wonder about. I have a question about. Okay? So new observations. It could be a question. Like, what does that mean? I'm not sure. Or, you know what? That detail, all of a sudden I never noticed that that detail is in that story and it connects with that over there. That's a new observation, right? New observation. So look for at least one new observation. Maybe you'll have five new observations. Okay, number five is new insights. And I'll explain the difference between those two here in a bit. And then number six is how am I going to respond? How am I going to respond? These are six really good questions. Okay, do you turn to Joshua chapter 19? What do you think? Are we going to get a lot out of that chapter there? Huh? You look at it yet? What do you think? Should we try these six questions on that passage? All right. Let me tell you something. Joshua chapter 19 is part of a long series of chapters that, honestly, I usually skip over. Because it's just describing, it's basically maps. Maps and words. And please don't come to a place in the Bible where it's like, oh my, I've got to read all these chapters and I'm not going to get anything out of it. At least sometime in your life you should. But you know what? And there's a good reason why it's there. I would not want people to print the Bible without those chapters there. We need them. All of a sudden you're like, oh, you know what? Those chronologies were important because they answered some questions over here. So we need them there. But instead of quit reading through the Bible, maybe just scan over them. Like, okay, that's also that, and that's also that. Okay, all right. Okay? Keep reading. Don't stop reading just because you bumped into something that's a little difficult. So let's pretend you're reading in Joshua 19. It's like, you know what? Okay, I read it. I honestly didn't find any favorite verses here or insights or, yeah, honestly, I'm not sure how I could, what would I respond to here? Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of that people. It's important to have it in the Bible, but now it's time to pull out your list of inspirational passages or just flip into another place. Keep reading, finish reading Joshua and go on to Judges, right? But you need to read something else, like I was saying earlier. Now let's turn to Romans that particular day. Please do read something more than just Joshua chapter 19, okay? Romans chapter 15. How about that? This is one of the best passages in the Bible, okay? According to my opinion, very inspirational. Lots of things going on in this passage here. Verses 1 till 13. Oh yeah, you can mark this one up. One thing I like to do is I like to highlight with a yellow marker all the names of God. So we've got one here. We've got a couple. And let me find my page here so I'm on the right track here. Yes. Okay. So I'm just going to read verses 1 till 13. I wish we could spend, honestly, we need an hour to do this. And we only have like 10 minutes here. Ask these six questions. You need time to read the passage. You need time to read the questions. You need time to meditate. I mean, you can easily fill up an hour, you know. But sometimes you don't have an hour. You only have 30 minutes, and that's fine. We can do it a little quicker. Why these six questions? These six questions here are going to help us to meditate the rest of the day. We're going to choose our favorite title for God. You're going to help me with this here in a minute. Our favorite title for God, a description of God's people, and we're going to think about this. We're going to bed pretty soon, but if we were doing it in the morning, or you can do this tomorrow. Your favorite verse, you're going to memorize it real just for a day or two. You're not going to memorize it so that you remember it till the day you die, necessarily, but you're going to memorize it so you can at least recite it several times that day. You need to write it down on an index card. You know how to do that. You made some observations. You wrote them down in your... I forgot to tell you, you need to go to Dollar General or Food Lion or somewhere and buy yourself a little notebook. And you're going to write these down. You're going to write it down. It doesn't take a lot of time to write down a few things, just a few things. And that's the fact that you wrote it down is going to help you remember it an hour from devotions time. When you're driving down the road, when you're at work, it's like, okay, now what was that? What was that title for God that I wanted to carry with me today? Oh, yes, now I remember. It's the God of patience and comfort. There's a lot to meditate on there, because we want to become like God, right? Yeah. Okay, let's read this passage, and you'll help me to put together. I ran out of space here on the board, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do there. You've got on your paper, if you turn your paper around on the back, do you see that there's... I'm sorry, I changed it. You've got a place to write the questions on the backside, and then you've got like a whole bunch of empty space. That space is now for you to start writing. Okay, so I'm gonna read this, and then we're gonna just put in a few entries, and this is what it's gonna help us to meditate on the Word of God. I'm gonna read verse 1. So what are you looking for? You're looking for names of God or descriptions of God. What we learn about God. Okay? Descriptions of God's people, what God's people are supposed to be like, right? Because we want to work towards that, right? We want God to do that in our life. And we're going to pick out one favorite verse. So I'm going to ask you what your favorite verse is. And you're going to write it down and memorize it. sorry. I'm not giving you enough time to memorize it, right? Just look for one new observation. Huh. That's something that I never noticed before. I like that. Or I don't like that. Like, why is that? I don't like that. You know, that's an observation, right? Why don't you like it, right? Why is it troubling you? That's a good question. It helps us to meditate on the Word and understand what's going on here. Maybe you'll like it when you're done understanding it. New insights. Well, that's like... When you read a verse, maybe your favorite verse, and it's like, wow, I'm starting to understand something deeper about a need in my life, or I'm starting to not, it's not just an observation, it's like a deep truth that I'm starting to understand as I'm meditating, I'm looking at the Word. It's like, you know what, this passage, what it's trying to explain to us is this and this and this, and you're putting those new insights down, and you're going a little deeper now, not just a little first observation, but a deeper understanding of a certain verse, and then a response to God. You know what you can do? You can write a little prayer. Now, do spend more than 2 minutes praying, but when you write that little prayer to God, it could be, Lord, help me to love my brother. It could be, Lord, just write something. Now, you ready to start? I'm going to read Romans chapter 15. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. By the way, I'm reading from the New King James. And I'm sorry, I meant to bring my King James with me, and I forgot it in North Carolina. We ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I like that. Hope. Humans need hope. I need hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing your name, to your name." And again, he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." That's us. It's talking about us here, okay? Are we? We're rejoicing with God's people. Amen. And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles." Are you praising him? That's right, right? We praise him. "Laud him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles." That's over us. "In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Wow, that's linking with our first message, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I read my passage now. Now, let's start, you know, working on this passage now. Tell me, did you see any titles for God in there? Can you throw them out here? God of hope. All right, so why don't you, on your papers, write God of hope. Oh, wait, we're reading Romans chapter 15. That's right, Romans chapter 15. And now under that, write God of hope. Just right underneath that, God of hope. Sorry, I don't have any space on the board here to... it's not going to erase very well. God of hope. I love that title. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a title for God. I love all of God's titles. Okay, we've got two now. There's more. I'm sorry? Minister of the circumcision. That's a title for Christ. Very good. Write that one down. Very good. Any others? The God of patience and comfort. Amen. Write that one down. Is that one on this text? I don't see it, but that is another title for God, definitely. All right, now, so you wrote some titles for God. What about titles for us? Any titles for us in here? Huh? Where's that at? Good. It's there. It's there. Verse 10. Okay. All right. So just write. We're dropping lines here, right? Next line down. Right. We are his people. Okay. Okay. Anything else here describing God's people? In this passage? Oh, that's right. "That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's describing God's people. So how would we put that in a title form? Why don't we say the people who with one mind and one mouth glorify God? Right? The people who with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Any other descriptions? I mean, they're loaded. Okay, we're just starting to scratch the surface here. Okay. Okay. The people that what?
Fellowship.
The people that fellowship with one another. There we go. Very good. Anyone else? Oh, so the people that receive one another. Is that, and it's a good, now it's like, wow, this is getting a little personal. Like, am I part of God's people here? Is this describing me, right? Or do I have some work to do here, right? Because if this is what describes God's people, and now I'm thinking like, wait, but that's maybe not exactly the way I am. Wow. So we're thinking here, right? We're meditating. Okay, so the people that receive one another out of verse 7. Okay, so now we've got some descriptions of ourselves. What about verse 2? Let each of us please his neighbor. The people who please their neighbors. You got any neighbors? You. Where's that at? Oh, wow. The people who are filled with joy and peace in believing. Yeah. That's another line, right? Okay, so we're writing descriptions of God's people. Very good. Now, I like to stay organized. And so every time I write an entry, I have a little symbol that I put so that later I can, it's not just a bold jumble of stuff, right? So we had like three or four descriptions of God, right? So at the beginning of that description, I put a little arrow that points up because we're talking about God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Put a little arrow there at the beginning of that. Now, when we're talking about our God's people, right? We're talking about God's people, I don't want to get confused when I'm looking through my journals, when I'm praying. I don't want to get confused and think that I was trying to describe God there, right? And now we're describing God's people. So I put an arrow that points down. And now I know that entry is talking about people of God, not talking about God himself. Okay? Now, what's the next one? Oh, favorite verse. I love that one. Favorite verse. I like to put an arrow that points to my favorite verse, and then I write my favorite verse. Anybody get a favorite verse yet out of this passage? Verse 6. Whoa. He's stuck on that verse. I noticed that, right? He's stuck on that verse. That verse is really popping out at him. Any verses popping out at you? Verse 5 is popping out at you? Okay. I wonder why verse 5 is popping out to you, but verse 6 is popping out to him, right? There's every time I read through the Bible, maybe a different verse is going to pop out for whatever reason, right? Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Take that verse now. Write down your favorite verse and memorize it. Now, when you write down a verse, it's a whole lot easier. You know, the fact that you're writing it is helping you memorize it. Once you wrote it and wrote it down, now it's going to be even easier for you to memorize it. Now, if it's a really long verse, maybe just memorize half of it. Remember, you want to be able to quote this to yourself as you go to bed at night. You want to be quoting this verse to yourself as you're walking through the day, right? This is how you're going to be meditating day and night. You're going to be quoting this verse to yourself. You're going to be reminding yourself of that title, the God of Hope, right? You're like, okay, so my mind is free right now, and you know what? I have like 3 minutes. Instead of being on my smartphone, right? I'm standing in the grocery store. Instead of being on my phone, watching some silly movie, what am I doing? I'm taking the opportunity to meditate on the Lord. That's right. It was the God of Hope. Oh, thank you, God. You're the God of Hope. Thank you for putting hope in my heart. Pray for these people here in the grocery store that don't have hope. Pray for that person I gave my attract to, or that I shared my story with, or the person that I witnessed to last week. Pray that you would be his God of hope. What are you doing? You're meditating on him. You're fellowshipping with God. Oh, it's your turn to go through the line. All right. Right? What were you doing? You were meditating day and night. You were taking an opportunity. You loaded yourself. You loaded your guns. When you go to hunt, you take some ammo with you, right? So that when that deer crosses, you can shoot it, right? So you wake him up in the morning. You spend time with the Lord, having your personal devotions. You loaded your guns here. You've got a description of God, right? You've got a description of God's people, what you're supposed to be like. And you've got a favorite verse. You've got even if you only have these first three down, you now have, when you're walking through the day, you're like, okay, now what was that verse again? How did that start? Well, that's right. Wait, I wrote it down here. Okay. Oh, that's right. It's therefore. It starts with the word therefore. Okay. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also receives us, the glory of God. Okay, let me say that one more time. Okay, now what does that mean? That's right. Oh, and then you're looking at your new, you remember, see, that's triggering now the rest of the things that you studied. You know, it's so sad to me that you would have devotions, and then you wouldn't think about it another time. For the rest of the day, or the next day, or the day after that. I think that's a pity. I mean, here you read 2 chapters or 10 chapters from the Bible, and then you close the book, and then you go into your daily life, and you don't even think about it one time. That's a pity. But see, now what are we doing? We are now ensuring that we are going to meditate on what we read, right? And especially if we had more time to meditate and think about it, then the context of the God of hope and the God of patience and comfort, it all has to do with the rest of the passage, right? We're going to look at that too. New observations. Now that you wrote this down in your notebook, and you at least had a favorite verse, that's going to remind you what your observation was that you wrote down. It might just be one sentence. You observed that. Did you have any new observations? Reading through this? Anything kind of like, what's that? Maybe you need to read it again. If you didn't have any observations, you probably need to just read the passage again. Next time, second time around, you'll get one. Maybe it's like, okay, these Gentiles, what's all the Gentiles going on here? Why is Paul making a big deal out of the Gentiles? You might need to read the whole book of Romans to understand that, but make an observation. God loves Gentiles, apparently, right? You could even make a title like that. The one who loves the Gentiles, right? Because that's something that this passage is bringing out. God loves, yes. That's a really good question. That's an observation. See, he made an observation, and let's say you wrote that down in your notebook,
right?
Because that this passage triggered that thought, and now you're not sure about that. And now, I'll try to answer your question real briefly here in a minute. But now, what are you doing? You made that observation. Maybe you didn't come to any conclusions because time was up. You have to go home. I need to go home. I mean, I need to sit down here in a minute. And now, you're still thinking about it. So, I wonder what that thing... Okay, so Jesus said that... And instead of just reading all the advertisements that are on the side of the road as you drive, you're thinking about that. Or maybe as you're working, you're like... It's still kind of bothering you a little bit. Like, what? What did Jesus... Was he kind of pushing the Gentiles aside? Wait, but... But then he went and healed that woman over there. And then, and that was in Sidon. That wasn't a Gentile. That was a Gentile area. So he was, and the Samaritans, the Samaritans, he was up there in the Samaritan area. And he had a whole, but then he only stayed 2 days. Oh, and then I remember that when the apostles went there, there was this huge revival. So is this a strategy? So he was, maybe the disciples were, it was a tough one for them. He had to kind of introduce them to the Gentiles. There's like this, slowly and surely getting the Gentiles, that's us, into the people of God.
You also have to remember the scene at the well where he talks to the Samaritan woman.
A whole half a chapter there.
Yeah.
That was a Gentile woman. Yeah. So very good. Very good point. So now what are you doing? You wrote this down. You wrote a few things down. It made a half a page or whatever, a few lines. A name for God, description of God's people that we need to become like, or maybe that we are in Christ, and a favorite verse, you memorized it, new insights, that could be a little longer, some, as you get all that hashed out and you're figured out, you write a little description, and then a little prayer, so you can go back and remember what you committed to God. Lord, I need to love so-and-so. Yes. And what are you doing? Now, as you go to bed, you're, again, reciting that verse to yourself. You're praising God for being the God of hope. And you wake up in the morning, another day to live for the God of hope. And my time is seriously up here. So hopefully I whet your appetite. My booklet, When I Wake, explains all of this in greater detail. So in 2 weeks, hopefully that can arrive. And make your devotions, your time in the Word, help you to meditate day and night. Take it with you. Amen.